Well, good afternoon.
It is a good one here in Lotus Land.
No, that's us.
Oh, sorry. That's right. You're on the coast. We're on flyover country here.
We're out in the on the wet left coast.
Oh, yes, indeed. Indeed. Well, we have a sad day
Very
yesterday.
sad, yeah.
It
Yeah, it sounds cliche to say, but your thoughts have to be with the family. A matriarch that's lasted that long and been such a prominent figure for so long. I don't know how they're going to cope, but you'd hope the rest of the world is going to be able to find a new person to look up to.
Well, she's the only queen monarch that I'm familiar with. When she was with not corn the coronation was in 53, but she was made queen on the 6th of February 1952, and I was just short of a year old when that happened. So, the 70 years is wow.
Quite staying power puts a lot of our highly paid athletes to shame, I think. But
Well, highly paid athletes, all those so-called cultural icons from music and movies and literature and sports, and they're all icons, but really, what compares to this woman who is, I think a real outstanding figure in history? Well, it's just hard to believe that she didn't succumb to any of the ups and downs of popular culture and the vagaries of politics
I guess this goes back to how groundbreaking she really was. I mean, obviously, Philip had a bit of a say in things with televising the coronation, never done before, embracing the media, doing the fireside chats, not afraid of technology and of going out and trying. The old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but she sure never let that stop her. She was right out there, forefront and ready to try it. And I guess with that, it at least in my mind, made her and the family seem like real people. They had their own problems. They dealt with them. There were issues. We had one on the news here last night, I guess, when she was out on some official visit in Victoria, and there was a bed and breakfast next door to them, and around Government House, and they caught a glimpse of them walking like two normal people, as they are, through a garden, strolling and pointing at flowers and just having a chit chat, and touching to see, and really drove home for me the fact that in spite of her world stature, in spite of her hereditary title, seemed to me to be a very down to earth person, down to earth couple.
And with all the discussion, particularly in the last decade or so of the ascension of various groups based on gender or what have you, in all this time, I never thought of her as being something, special because she was a woman. I thought of her as an individual. It never occurred to me, really, that
No.
it was something different than anybody else because she happened to be a woman. I mean, she transcended all that. In for me, I mean, I never heard anybody saying the reason she's the queen is because she's a woman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that sounds corny, but I mean, it's she carried out her duties as the monarch with dignity and with integrity and with all the things that we seem not to have these days, particularly in the leadership class. I mean, she evoked so many positive elements of what makes someone outstanding as a human being and one that you respect year after year. I mean, you know, when you compare her to the 15 prime ministers, and I don't know how many presidents she basically outlived or had not outlived, but certainly had you know, relation with. You know, the you try naming all 15 prime ministers in the UK or all the presidents. You know, there was only one Queen Elizabeth II. You know, it was and I here in Canada, of course, we're a constitutional monarchy, but when I was watching some of the American shows, particularly last 24 hours, you know, the US for all of its very interesting and classical, if you will, protocols and so on with the military and with the presidency and the constitution. There's nothing like the monarchy, and the amount of information that's coming out of these news centers about how this passing has impacted people for 70 years. You cannot have any comparison to any president, to any prime minister, to any actor, to any sports figure. Again, she's her reign has gone through so many different cultural times, technical times. You were saying about how they televised the coronation in 53, which was unheard of at the time. You know, she's seen her reign has seen so many changes in our lifestyles, in our technology, and how the world has changed. And of course, you know, the stability of her the impact of her persona on the stability of the UK in particular. When they went into the EU, when they came out of the EU, when they had the Northern Ireland crisis, when they had, you know, the Falkland, they went through all sorts of stuff in our own lifetimes, and she's the rock that stood there continually, and it didn't matter whether it was a conservative PM or a Labour PM or whatever crisis was going on because of the coal strikes back in this. I mean, she was the thing that never changed. And it's going to be very hard for, I think, King Charles III to, he's got, I think you said earlier, some really big shoes to fill.
Absolutely. Like you say, a pillar of community, a lighthouse, a beacon. You're ever lost, you could kind of look over there and say, there's somebody that would be a good person to emulate, to take guidance from, to
Yeah, and when the news came, it's one of those events in our life where you will always remember when you heard that the Queen had died. By the way, the Queen dying is a British terminology because they were saying on the news that the Queen does not pass, the Queen dies. And in the US, when someone dies, they always say passed on or they passed. And the commentators were saying, no, the Queen dies. And that's what happened. It didn't pass anywhere. She's gone. And immediately, you know, God save the King. I mean, there is no discussion about this. Prince Charles becomes King Charles III, which,
And
and even.
I guess that must go back to, feudal times when the king died, they didn't want to be seen as being a right target to take over. So you had the immediacy of the transferring of powers or titles or whatever. Yeah.
The majesty of the whole thing is amazing. You know, I watched it this morning. They did the 96 gun salute. You know, it was really fantastic to watch. And while it's sad, but she lived a great life. 96 years is pretty good. We all go at one time, and it's the great equalizer in for all human beings. But her impact is going to be has been unbelievable, but her loss will also be impactful, because I think there'll be unintended consequences in her passing. One of the things that is becoming apparent in some of the countries that they would like to visit the question of whether they should stay in the monarchy or not. And in Barbados, and you know, they've already announced that they're leaving. They're not going to have, they'll stay in the Commonwealth, but they've left. The Queen is no longer the head of state, and the same discussion is in Jamaica. I remember in another island, Trinidad, was a republic soon after it gained its independence. And in fact, it's the 30th anniversary this year of the independence of Trinidad. And so it's, the question of the monarchy is going to, I'm sure, be raised in places like Australia, which has a very strong Republican movement.
Yeah.
Whether in other places that are linked historically, as long as there were colonies that became independent, like Canada, for example, I don't think the question of the monarchy is really, you know, a top burner issue for most people. But it was raised. I was listening to a radio show yesterday where someone said, well, maybe this is a time to question whether Canada should look at it in light of her
passing, her death.
Yeah, it's hard. Is that's, you know, the how do you question that, or how do you approach that? But you know, that is a monarchy strong in Canada? I don't know. Is it weak? It's one of those questions that it's a tough one. I mean, it's certainly not a barn burner for me.
No. Well, I've always had respect for the monarchy. I guess just with my background being as it is. An analogy for me.
Are you the Earl of Dunlop by any chance?
I can either confirm or deny that it may not be. Yeah.
No, but clearly, you know, that you know your heritage is British. So, but that's where the question yesterday came up on this radio program, that people were phoning in and they're saying, I have no connection whatsoever to the monarchy. When we're there, I came from country X. Well, I'm not going to name any countries, because there are various countries people were calling who had come from, or their parents had come from, that had no connection to the British Isles or any Anglo-Saxon, if you will, links. And in this country, where we have a huge population of folks of many faiths and many colors and many creeds from nations that have either been colonies in the past or have nothing to do with the British Empire, who've come here in the last 30 or 40 years. And, you know, they, you know, have no particular axe to grind
one way or the other. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
well, I guess that goes back to the old adage of, do you want to open up Pandora's box or not? Yeah, I don't know. Is it something that should be opened? Is it something that should be looked at? Very hard to say. But the analogy that I would use when I first started working in the civil service, being the young generation, kind of sat back and, you know, when are all these old guys going to leave? And then the old guys eventually left. And we got a new crop of leaders in. And I know I, for one, not too long after that, started to sit back and say, gee, I wish those old guys had come back.
And the next thing you knew, you were one of the old guys.
And now I am the old guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Our American friends, closest they come to questioning this is when they're visiting us and they get their change and they look at the quarters and dimes and nickels, and it's got the queen, or had the queen, on the obverse. And now, of course, that will change as well. But this will raise these things are kind of the changes that will happen. Obviously, the currency, the $20 bill in Canada, won't have the queen on any longer. But it'll raise questions. Should Charles III be on the $20 bill? I mean, this kind of sounds funny, but could well be a question raised by folks who say, well, we've got all these other more contemporary folks on our money.
Yeah.
Why would we continue with this? Or, the various crap. I think you pointed out that the coats of arms have to be changed because the Queen's crown on the 50-cent piece, for example, or on the flag, the royal flag, it's got to now be it's got to be the king's.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of little changes, I guess, will happen. Many of which, I guess, will just be, as you said, new dies for the coin, new dies for the bills to go through, new plates. I don't think there's anything that you would have to open up in the way of legislation to make those changes.
Protocol obviously exists, right?
So it will be a slow transition. Like somebody said, well, does that mean that our money's no longer valid? Well, no. I mean, $20 is $20. $15.95 if you're in the States, I guess. But we can still put a stamp on and mail it. We'll have discussions probably, much like we did when we changed over to the back of the $10 bill to have the veteran go on there. I'm going to be very, very, I'm sorry to say, I don't remember the name of the lady.
You know why I don't remember this stuff? Because I hardly use any bills anymore. Everything is, debit.
Interact, cash, yeah.
I don't have any change in my pockets 90% of the time. So,
there's going to probably be discussions about who should be on there. Should we be looking at more Canadiana? Should we be looking at more prime ministers? I guess that kind of begs the question is we'd have to have some that were respected, but there's very few of those in the last few years that have met that bill.
When we're talking about any comparisons to
Her Majesty, yeah. Her
Majesty, there really aren't any. You can go to some luminaries like Mahatma Gandhi maybe comes up, or Churchill, maybe, and of course that's all from the British Empire. Maybe Roosevelt, to some extent, I think, is a luminary that people with his name you remember. But again, the time frame even for those folks doesn't come anywhere near the legacy in terms of the time and the impact on up to.
Yeah,
two-thirds of the world. When you enter the Commonwealth and that from the time she ascended the throne, which is 53, because she didn't, the coronation wasn't in 52, it was in 53. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I'm going to be doing over the next couple of days is I'm going to be looking at my stamp collection, for example, which I've kept. Nobody collects stamps anymore, but I still do. And you can see the progression there of the various commemorative stamps that were issued in her honor.
Yeah.
And
milestones. Yeah.
And by the way, when she was made her first stamp when she was a queen, and the post office back in 53, it was a 4 cent stamp. So that I do remember from, you could mail first class letter for 4 cents
Yeah,
when she was
which
senator.
it's still relatively cheap because our money going back that now would be $55 to mail it now or something.
Yeah, the equivalent of 4 cents in 53 is $55 today. I know you're being a bit facetious, but yeah, no, her, this news kind of dwarfs anything else that's going on at the moment. Well, dwarfs obviously the situation in Europe is dire, with the Russia-Ukraine crisis, the energy
Yeah.
crisis, a crisis heaped on crisis, and malfeasance and politicians heaped on malfeasance of politicians, transatlantic, coast to coast, whatever you want to say. This really brings into sharp focus what happens when a person like her leaves the scene, and then
Yeah.
there's a vacuum. I mean, she seriously left, leaves a vacuum behind,
Oh, absolutely.
and that vacuum is going to be difficult for Charles to fill, the king. And also, those things that we spoke about earlier, about principles and integrity and stoicism and unflappability and sense of humor and all those things that she brought to the world for 96 years. I mean, wow.
Certainly not to detract from the king, but I'm sure he's feeling the pressure.
Oh yes.
I think everybody who kind of steps into a role like that is always wondering whether they're going to be able to rise to or go above the levels that have been set already.
Well, let's not forget when she was ascended to the throne, she was 25 years old. She was a young woman, with all the energy and the whatever a 25-year-old has compared to him, who's 73 years old. And that's not to say he doesn't have the wherewithal to do what he needs to do, but it's not, it's, time is not on his side either. I mean, he's 73.
No, but looking at world leaders, he's ranking right up there probably in the age group that they all seem to be. So, I guess from that point, you're going from an individual that was really and truly an elder statesperson, stateswoman, to somebody who is an equal. Will his words be as sage, or will they be thought of as profound as what hers would have been? I don't know.
Well, he made the point in his speech today, that he's having to step back from all the things he was involved in before, various charities, and he was very big on the environment and lots of programs to he supported for those who were in need of these various support programs, for the poor, for the animal welfare. I mean, he did all kinds of stuff. Now that's going to have to be carried on by somebody else so that he can do what the king has to do. And by the way, in a neutral way, he's going to find it very challenging, I think, to not open his mouth when he sees something that he was able to comment on before in his role as the Prince of Wales.
Yeah, true, but I think he's had quite a few years to work around that, and whether he does it overtly or covertly, I think there's still going to be some things that are going to be near and dear to his heart that are going to be dealt with. Not overtly perhaps, but certainly working around in different ways or through different mediums.
Well, I've just got in front of me here a note that the newspaper said, how did the first two King Charles do? And headline as well, not great as it turns out. First Charles was beheaded in the popular uprising. The second was a hard-drinking womanizer whose dynasty fell to a Dutch invasion shortly after his death. So, not to, you know, it's just an interesting sort of anecdote here that he chose to be Charles III and not George the
sixth.
Sixth, yeah, because it could have been that. But that's just a little brevity here to the conversation.
Well, I guess it's kind of like the papal dynasty, right? You kind of look at history and you choose a name and you hope that your legacy will be better than your namesakes or your previous people. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there's always the same third time lucky. Who knows?
Yeah, the other thing that's going to be interesting is how he's going to be received, because once the coronation occurs, then he'll start, I would think, traveling to the various countries that still have him as the head of state, and at some point he'll come to Canada and Australia, New Zealand, these other places outside of the United Kingdom. Be interesting to see what the reception is from you know the folks, so to speak. I just wish him well.
I do as well, yeah.
Because
you know he's probably sitting there gnashing his teeth and wondering, well, gee, if I go to Australia first, is that going to annoy somebody else? Things that he would never have to worry about before. And I guess it gets down to a point. Like I said, I'm an old guy and I've reached a point where if I piss somebody off, it seems to be so easy.
Well, it's hard not to these days, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
But, so, you know, but she never pissed anybody off. That's the interesting thing. You know, if you look at her history, regardless of what the external political or cultural environment was, it was never any.
And some of that has to do too with the fact that as she was embracing jet travel, I think there was something in the paper the other day that Prime Minister Churchill didn't want her to fly to Canada for a visit. He wanted her to take the ship because flying was still too dangerous.
Well,
and she jumped on and said, you know, we're flying. That's just the way it is.
Interesting. Now she did fly on the Comet, which was the first jetliner, and they did start falling out of the sky in the mid-50s, and she fortunately he wasn't on it. So they had to, take those out of service until they figured out.
Well, that's right. Yeah. But you sit back and you think, well, like us, well, me in particular, there wasn't a lot of social media around when I did my stupid stuff. So it was never posted. Would that maybe have been why things happened for her? Again, King Charles he's going to be in the media spotlight, and whatever happens, you know, 8 to 10 seconds later could be all over the net or all over the news. Or,
but you know, frankly, social media, I think it's two-thirds of it's rubbish anyway. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
They do have their followers.
Yeah, well, before we had social media, we had the yellow press, and they put all kinds of rubbish out nobody believed. You know, National Enquirer kind of stuff.
I mean, that wasn't true.
You mean the little green men coming through keyholes? No, it wasn't true.
Oh.
No. They were already here. You didn't have to do that. Just to let you know. No. And imagine, just to wrap up, what a tough break for the new prime minister of the UK. She's on the job 2 days and boom, this is what she has to deal with.
Not only is she new in the job, but she's got her constitutional head who's new in the job. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting time, but
Yeah. And they're faced with some, and I think maybe next Friday we'll talk about what they're facing. As you know, one of our colleagues lives there, John Holland, and he's telling me that he got an electrical bill 80% higher than the previous quarter. Can you
wow.
imagine? Or other energy bill, I don't know if it's electrical, gas, or whatever. But it's enormous impacts here on energy issues and the whole business of the economy. And by the way, even here in Canada, the unemployment rate jumped up, and they can't figure out why. Today it was 5.4%. If all these jobs everywhere available, how come the unemployment rate goes up? I mean, I'm having a problem with this going this way and that going that way. That's for next Friday.
Yeah.
But in any event, I think we'll need to take a look at that. And in the meantime, our condolences to all our friends around the world who admired and loved the monarch like you and I did.
That's right. All I can say is, rest in peace, Your Majesty. Thank you for your service. You've
And we'll
been
miss
a
you.
guiding light.
And we'll miss you. All right, Bob. I'll see you next Friday.
You bet. Have a good week.
You too. Stay
Okay.
out of trouble. Where's the off button here? Oh, I found it.